Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sam Legasek.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd.
This is the
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Wonder Woman. Oh, what am I doing? Welcome to Wonder Woman. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Oddcast, Movies, Music and Gaming. Here with me today is lovely Dan, Dreadful Dan. How are you?
Hello, I'm really good, marvellous, and ready for a lovely spanking conversation about this smorgasbord of shite.
Well, Dan, close your eyes and imagine taking a step back into the neon-coloured world of the 80s. Big hair, big shoulders, and where life is good, but it could be better, and where wishes come true. No, this isn't big. It's Wonder Woman 84.
My life hasn't been what you probably think it has. We all have our struggles.
Have you ever been in love?
A long, long time ago. You?
So many times, yeah. All the time.
Welcome to the future. Life is good, but it can be better.
And why shouldn't it be? All you need is to want it.
Think about finally having everything you always wanted.
I can save today, but you can save the world.
Steve.
Diane. Now, I take what I want in return. Everyone will see.
That was a great intro, Sam. Love that. And what an exciting concept, you know, a mashup of DC Comics' endearing, enduring character and the work of George Orwell, with Wonder Woman having to use her resolve and superpowers to tackle the threat of a totalitarian state and Big Brother and thwart concepts such as doublethink.
Yeah.
That would have been quite good, huh?
That would have been all right. I definitely would have put a bit of, I always thought, like, with the film, 1984, could have done with a bit more colour.
Some pizzazz.
Exactly. It's really missing some, like, you know, Blue Monday type New Order thumping music. So I know I basically kind of made you watch this then, but
why?
Did you know anything coming into this at all?
No.
So you've not even watched the first film, right?
I didn't even know there was a first film.
Right.
Until about halfway through, and I thought, I don't know what the fuck any of this is, who any of these people are. So yeah. I went online and I was like, okay, there's a first film.
Yeah.
It still didn't help it make any more sense. But yeah, no, didn't know anything. I went solely off your recommendation, your glowing recommendation.
I don't know if I'd say that.
It drizzling was, recommendation.
Well, exactly. I mean, the first Wonder Woman film, I didn't particularly like, but I thought it was better than a lot of the DC shit. Basically, it's been piled into my eyes of recent, all the Batman versus Superman and all that stuff, right?
Okay.
Justice League and whatever. So this was, I don't know if to say if I was looking forward to it, but when I saw the trailer for this, and it's like, I think it was Blue Monday, like, and it's got like, it's got this big, like big titles. It's got the fucking stuff from the era, you know, it all looks very like a bit of Stranger Things in the sense of like that retro, like paying homage to all that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. And it's like a little bit, you know, it's cool. It's going to be in the 80s and it's going to have 80s stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
It literally, apart from that little sequence in the beginning and the little like clothes thing halfway through, it could have been set at any time. It made absolutely no difference. That it was
so disappointing. So disappointing. They made a few tokenistic efforts to shoehorn it in. But I mean, like the look of the film was not convincing, the 80s.
Mm.
There was none of that, you know, nostalgic vibe. It didn't feel fun. And then there were like really silly little tokenistic things like, oh, let's shoehorn in a kind of like a War Games like subplot here about some like Russian nuclear missiles being launched, you know, just to make you realize, oh, it really is 1984, everyone. Look, there's some Russians.
Yeah. Well, this is it. Well, for people who don't know, I guess I should just do a brief summary. We'll try and keep spoilers to the back end of the podcast if you haven't seen it. Mm. To be honest, I don't really want you to see it. So just listen to the podcast anyway. And if you happen to see it, then great. But it takes place after, it's after the first film because the first film was in the 40s or whatever. And basically, Christ almighty, I'm trying to do this without, it's such a weird plot, so convoluted. But there's something, it's basically a lamp of sorts with a genie. Not really, but there's something that grants you wishes. And that's it. I don't know where else do you go without giving away some of the stuff. It's like, there's something that grants you wishes and it gets into like the wrong hands, kind of.
Yeah.
And that's it. And God, Jesus, I just don't, it's just not even a story. Like it's just a.
Well, this is the problem, right?
Awful.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't, should I just kind of like launch into some of my complaints and criticisms?
Well, I guess like, yeah, before you do that, the one thing I should mention just off before we get into it, and that I think is quite, which is the reason why we didn't like it, like spoilers for that, we both didn't like the film, was that the first film was directed by Patty Jenkins, right? Everyone's like, oh, great, film director, brilliant, and all this stuff, and did a good job, whatever, fine. People liked it. I didn't particularly think it was that great. A lot of people did, and I'm fine with that. Second film, this film, directed by Patty Jenkins, again, fine. Written by Patty Jenkins, and also Jeff Johns and Dave Callahan,
who are not fine
people. This is why I get that sometimes there's this thing of like, oh, they didn't get to make the film they wanted to make. Sometimes it's like, you know what, maybe a studio, there's a reason why studios have people who will tell directors and whoever and producers that maybe they should change things, because these guys will know. So one of the things, Dan, before we get into it, was that DC said to Patty Jenkins, you have two openings. You need to get rid of one. And she pushed back and said, no way. I'm going to have both of those openings. And that's why it takes about 20 minutes to half an hour
of an
over 2 hour film to even get started. And
that was one of the points I had actually for discussion.
Yeah. So that's why that's just a bit of the context. So go into it. Hit me.
Well, okay.
Start at the beginning. Start with the sequences, because I'm interested in what you thought. Kind of like you're going in fresh. This is the first thing you see. It's the back when she's a kid and it's this gladiatorial arena. This is all spoilers. Let's just say now we're going to spoil it. If so, turn off if you don't want to hear it. Gladiator arena. It's all the people who we kind of saw in the first Wonder Woman film. Diana, I should say, is Wonder Woman's name. And so I'll leave you to it.
I thought, this is kind of fun. It's like Total Wipeout. I quite enjoy that.
It's Takeshi's Castle.
Yeah. They're just like, you know, jumping off of things, swinging off of things, riding on a horse. But it's like, you know, it's a bunch of adult women and a child, and you're with the child. So I was like, why has Sam said that this film is so, so awful? You know, I was like, this just looks, you know, this is a children's film for young girls to feel something good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to crap all over this. This is fine. There's nothing wrong with this. And then, you know, that sequence ends and she tries to cheat to win, and they go, no, there's no point, you know, no point in cutting corners in life to get to that point.
Yeah, this is it, because she talks about it. It's not even like talking about cheating, they talk about lying. Oh, you can't lie.
It's a bit mixed up.
She's not lied. She hasn't even talked to anyone.
The message is a bit mixed up, muddled up.
Can you tell me what the message was? Because honestly, at the end of it, I was like, I don't understand what the lesson to be learned here is. I don't get it. Like, I guess that she, because the thing is, so yeah, for me, it was like, you know, when they're racing up that thing and then they get to the top. And I was like, okay, cool. Now the film's going to start. And then they basically jumped down onto horses or something. I was like, oh, fucking hell, we're still going. Right. And then they let up those flares or whatever. And then basically what does she do? She falls off the horse or something.
Yeah.
And then she misses a flare. And that's how they know that she cheated or whatever.
Because then she suddenly appears at the finish line.
Yeah. And
they're like, oh, you took the shortcut.
Yeah. So they know she took the shortcut. But I don't understand what the lesson is. Is it just like,
well,
don't
my
cheat?
Interpretation, well, yeah, it's, you know, later on in the film, again, spoiler, the problem is the main villain basically has all his wishes granted, but then he also grants everyone else in the world all their wishes. So people get everything they want.
Right, that's the shortcut.
Of course, it's a shortcut to getting things that you want. It has no value. And people end up with a load of stuff then that actually they didn't want, and the world is awful.
Right.
So she cuts corners to get something that she hasn't earned, doesn't genuinely want or need.
Now that might be me being thick, but I'm glad you said that, because now that does make a bit more sense, because afterwards I'm still like, I don't understand why that seems really there.
Well, it makes sense thematically, but at the same time, and this is the sad thing, that was probably my favourite part of the film. But by the end of the film, I thought, irrelevant. That scene shouldn't have been there. So the best part of the film doesn't belong because it's too good for the rest of the fucking film.
Well, this was it. Like, when I was watching it and it was coming to the end of the race, I was like, this is almost like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's quite long, isn't it?
I was like, that's, normal, I always go by like a 90-minute film being the normal, but it's not these days. 2 hours is usually the normal. But I'm like, that is, whatever that is, a sixth of your film. Just on this one intro sequence, which has no real point of even being there.
And I kept thinking, we're going to go back to that and maybe see bits more of her, like, growing up or something. No,
you don't see it. But that's also the thing, is that you don't. So they've done that. They already done that in the first film as well. So they had young Diana and she's like full of gusto and all this stuff. they've done that. So it's like, okay, we're seeing this again, but we already know young Diana. Like, what? All right, fine. Says there is one bit where, if you remember, they like go up to like worship a statue or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that woman that she talks about later on in the film who has that gold outfit that just, she's just suddenly fucking rocks up in towards the end. Uh-huh. So there's a little bit to do with the legend of this woman. Yeah,
it's quite tenuous.
Exactly. But then, so you've got that, that's 15 minutes. And then you come in to a shopping mall scene. And again, that reminded me of the latest Stranger Things one was in a shopping mall. And that was quite cool just to see it from the kind of consumer side of it. And then you're like, okay, as these guys going around, they hold up a jewelry store or whatever and saying, oh, there's something, you got the good stuff, the black market stuff in the back or whatever. And then I was thinking, okay, here we go. So I think that's part of the reason why I was really disappointed with this film. Is that that whole sequence was stupid, yes. And it was like, well, it's like she throws the kid along the floor and and she's like in a bunch of teddy bears. Like, oh, great. And it's all like, oh, you know, shh, be quiet, which I didn't really get that. Like, I don't really understand why she's telling us to shush. And it was all like a little bit like camp. And I was like, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm all right by it being, it's 80s, it's stupid, it's fun, and it's ridiculous. Because that's how I felt like the trailer was maybe setting it up for, maybe being a bit more grittier down the line or whatever. But also it reminded me of Thor Ragnarok, which I know you haven't seen, but like that's basically what they did with Thor, which is like the whole, they had Thor 1, which was like, here's Thor, which is like a classic kind of superhero thing. Thor 2, which is like dark, it's called the Dark World. And it was like, okay, this is quite shit and boring. And then for Thor 3, which is Thor Ragnarok, it was done by the Kiwi guy. I forget his name, who does...
The Man from Del Monte?
Eagle versus Shark. Flight of the Conchords. Wakey, the Tahiti Wakey, whatever his name is. What We Do in the Shadows.
Wakey Wakey?
No. And he did it, but it's all like bright, vibrant colours and it's all like on another planet. And it's all like this visual like splatter of like stuff on the screen. And it's a totally different vibe. It's more like tongue-in-cheek and stupid funny. And it's like a bit more like fun. And it's people's like favourite Marvel film. And I can see why. I thought this was going to do that. So I was coming in thinking, okay, it's got all the colours and it's going to be like fun and 80s. And it's not going to take itself so seriously like all the DC movies do. It's going to be like a bit more. And then apart from that, from then on, it's like, oh, we're just, it's just another drab, boring, takes itself way too seriously DC.
Absolutely. Film. I liked, I didn't like it. I didn't mind that second intro sequence in the supermarket. Like you say, it was campy. But at this point, I'm just like, well, this is just a film for young girls, probably. And yeah, this is fine. But then as the film evolved, I was like, oh, this isn't actually for, this is meant to be for a broader adult, you know, well, family audience. Mm. And this is just actually a bit weak. And it, also, like, for me, watching this film, I haven't seen Wonder Woman, so, you know, these characters being reintroduced.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, it's just what, so she just sort of hangs around and takes out sort of like low-key petty criminals.
Well, this is the other thing, Dan, is that in, and this is kind of what they were trying to do, and I don't know if you noticed this, it'd be interesting, and it also, when we get to the end of the film, I think it will confuse you even more, is that when, in the whole DC universe, let's say, Batman finds out about Wonder Woman, right? And he's like, she's never been seen. Like, it's this like enigma. There's this like woman who's like popped up throughout history or something like that, right? So she's not like this. She's not like fucking Batman or something that's like in the papers every day or whatever. She's like, who is this woman who's like lived forever, whatever, and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So where she's doing all this stuff, she's like, you'll see her like knocking out cameras and all that. So in theory, and they try and set it up that it's like, who is this woman? This like, oh, this mystery woman, but that she's not actually getting any media attention. So it's very weird because it's like she's in the middle of a shopping mall, which surely has tons of cameras and all this. And it's like, oh, she's this hero. But at the same time, it's like, actually, no one's supposed to know that she even exists or she's even here. It's like, well... About 1,000 people just saw her like save a baby or whatever.
None of that translated throughout the whole film to me.
No.
One of my big complaints, well, you've already tackled, you know, the issue here really is the writing. And I think, you know, that's felt in the weak plots, full of inconsistencies and gaps, and some really wretched dialogue. Mm. But also this like development, some of these characters, their backstories and their like their motivations.
Yeah.
But and especially, you know, with your central character, Wonder Woman, I just didn't have a clue, like, what's she doing? Like you say, once, you know, we've had this, like, quite exciting. We've had one scene of her as a kid, one scene of her in a shopping market, supermarket. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, now she's a, like, in, working at the Smithsonian Museum.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, you know, a magical artifact falls into the wrong hands. We don't really understand, like, what's the ramifications of that? And what is her interest in, like, why is she suddenly like, we've got to stop this? Mm. She doesn't even know what he's planning to do with it or what could happen.
Yeah.
And all I know is that she stops criminals in supermarkets. So,
shopping malls. It's not a supermarket, it's not like Sainsbury's. It's a shopping centre. Shopping centre.
Yeah. Like the Whitgift Centre.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, And then there's well, maybe we'll come to it. I don't know. But then there's like weird love interest, and that completely baffled me.
Yeah, that would do. Going fresh,
completely baffled me.
It baffled me, to be honest. And I'm watching it. Yeah.
I mean, then there was just like loads of other stuff. But yeah, but like that central character of Wonder Woman, I never had a clue. What's she about? What's her motivation? What's she trying to do?
Yeah.
Why did I care?
Well, they kind kind of hint at, right, they kind of, so in the first film, her and Chris Pine got together, he died, basically, and that's that.
Didn't know that.
But you'd presume that from the way that he's like come back or whatever, which is weird in itself, but.
Didn't assume that.
Okay,
I just thought maybe he's maybe he's a time traveler, or maybe they're time travelers. Maybe he's in another dimension.
Makes just as much sense. There's,
Maybe it's like Quantum Leap, and like he's like got lost, and now he's hopped back into the body of another man.
Yeah. Well, let's come to that. Let's start with the. There's so much to divulge ourselves in here. So, I think they're trying to set it up that she's lonely, right? Mm. And
she's not that lonely. She's like, well, spiky with everyone.
Yeah, well,
like, why are you speaking to me? Why are men always looking at me?
Yeah, even though like, she walks around like wearing these ridiculous, hot, like, you know, like fashion numbers in a museum or whatever. And she's like wondering why all these geeks are paying attention to her.
That lonely,
I don't mean it like that. It's just the idea that she's this like super glamorous woman.
Mm.
He just seems to work at the Smithsonian. But I don't know, maybe that's the thing that... Well, that's another thing, is that I think she even works in Batman versus Superman. So that means that, like, people must... She's worked in the same place for, like, at least 20 years, if not more. And no one has cast any doubt to the fact she doesn't age. What I also loved is they had Chapuddy G in it from People Just Do Nothing when he came in and wished... God, I wish I had a coffee or whatever. And then he's like, oh, look, do you remember?
That was quite funny.
Yes.
That was the funniest part of the film.
It was, I can't tell you how happy I was. That's the happiest moment in the entire film, was when I saw his fucking face. I thought, it's Chapuddy G. And then he actually got like a line, and he gets a line a bit later as well. And I was like,
who is he?
He's made it. He's done it. He's done everything. He's in People Just Do Nothing, that TV series.
What's
I love.
That?
Okay. Oh, mate, you haven't seen People Just Do Nothing? Mm-hmm. Fuck, it's so good. And I don't know if it's on, like, I know a lot of Americans listen to this. It's a, BBC thinks it's actually produced by this guy, Asher Tyler, who I was mates with for a very long time. He produced The Office, it's in the original British Office. And I worked with him when I was on IT Crowd. And he went on to do Rough Cut, which was his company, which actually I helped choose the logo for.
What is it?
It's a guy with an axe. I don't know if it's still that anymore. It's like a little stick man with an axe. And they made People Just Do Nothing. So there's three series of it. Okay. And it is fucking great. It's basically about a... I'm totally going off on one. It's basically about a garage. When I say garage, not like rock. as in UK garage, as in ball to the beat, to the ball, to the boot, or whatever, and all that stuff. it's about a group of those guys who still do that and think it's cool. So it's Imagine Epsom, like back when we were kids, and people still just doing that.
Okay, that sounds good.
Live in a council estate. But the main guy, MC Grinder, is basically David Brent. He like thinks he's fucking cool and hot stuff. He's actually just like a little dweeb and all this stuff. It's really good, mate. Anyway, Chapati G, who is one of the co-writers and basically writes his stuff that's in it, is like their manager slash mate. And he's exactly like that. And it's just brilliant. So fucking funny. Anyway, he was in Wonder Woman. That's who he was. So when he came in, I was like, how the fuck did he get that? That's amazing. So good on him.
I just want to come back to that point about her seeming like she's going to be a bit lonely. Because of this, I had this creeping sense. And she meets this like geeky woman at the Smithsonian who's working there, who's a bit like awkward. And they exchange some little looks. And then they like go for coffee or something together. Hey, do you want to get lunch? And then they're like talking about their like, oh, they're both having bad relationships and having trouble with men. And it's like the penny drops. And I thought, is the reason this film's so bad and why Sam's maybe watch it, have they made Wonder Woman a lesbian?
Yeah, I got vibes of that as well. I was like, okay, is this a, because it's, well, for one thing, I think there was that they're trying to be like, oh, she's lonely. And, you know, Kristen Wiig's like lonely because no one listens to her and whatever. And Wonder Woman's lonely and they've like found each other or whatever. But there was a sense where it's like, she asks her out for lunch and then dinner, whatever. And she seems like really needy. And it was part of me that was like, oh, okay, they've gone with the gay thing. And it might still, well, it's not, well, I don't know, because she gets with, what's his name later, but unless she's bisexual or whatever, you know, however you want to call it, she's interested in men and women, pansexual, I can't remember what the actual thing is. It's a whole rabbit hole I'm not going to go down. But I did think that. I was like, okay, she fancies her. And that's another thing. So you've got, bear in mind, you've had the intro scene, the race, you've had the shopping mall scene. Now you're in the museum. Kristen Wiig has turned up. You're about half an hour into the film. It's not even started. Film's not started. Yeah. You don't know what's going on. You've had this new character introduced. You're like, well, what's the story? Yeah. I honestly don't know what the story is like at all. And Kristen Wiig is like, and that's why I don't get it. It's like, I always think Kristen Wiig is like quite good looking anyway. So when it's like, oh, I've turned up and I'm like, oh dear, I've dropped this. And then after, and then later on when they were like, oh my God, she's so sexy. It's like that, she's all that kind of thing, that like that mid 90s high school lame thing. It's like, take your glasses off, like put a bit of volume in your hair. Oh my God, she's dropped dead stunning.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're doing this. Okay.
I felt really, felt so cheesy and like old hat and dated.
Yeah, it really did. And yeah, but you've got that cool, like with the shopping mall scene, you have got that cool, just going back a little bit, 80s montage thing, which I did quite like, where it's like the bride kind of like falls over the edge of the bridge and you've got this like, you know, okay, you're seeing 80s stuff. And I was like, okay, this is quite cool. But again, it was like none of this, like when they're in the Smithsonian, it's like, oh, they all look, they're kind of wearing 80s stuff, but then this is kind of it. Like there's not really, you don't really get much more 80s. But yeah, so the idea is that they found this thing and it grants wishes, right? And that's basically when the film actually starts. So
yeah, what should we call it? It's an artifact of some sort.
Yeah, artifact.
It basically looks like a rock.
Yeah, it's basically a rock. And it also makes me think, like just going to the end where it's talking about renouncing the wishes, does that mean Chapati G had to renounce his wish for coffee for it to work? I mean, we'll get to that, but I was just thinking that as we were just talking about it.
He just suddenly had slightly less of a spring in his step.
Yeah, exactly. so they basically go out and then she wishes, Cheetah Woman, Kristen Wiig, wishes that Kristen she was Wiig. More like Wonder Woman, basically, or whatever. Okay, great.
Diana,
she starts getting her fucking powers, or whatever, and all shit. At the same time, and losing her like niceness and her humanity, which didn't seem to be doing her much good anyway in the first place. And then Diana wishes, what did she actually wish for? I can't remember.
Right. I don't know if, okay, this is a bit embarrassing. because this might have been me being really stupid, but I didn't catch her making a wish.
Great, because neither did I. So I remember she was kind of, she was holding it and maybe said something about blah, 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 like maybe, I don't know, I wish I wasn't alone, or like, I wish I could bring someone, or if only, I don't know, something like that. But I don't think I was listening to it properly, because then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is it. She goes to this party to find Kristen Wiig to get this rock. Yeah. And at the same time, we'll get into Pablo Pascal's character in a sec, but she finds this guy is just like, Diana, whatever. And she's like, yeah, fuck off, creep. It's like, no. He says something that was in the first film, I presume. And then she sees him as Steve. And because she recognizes it as Steve, she's like, I only see Steve. And that's why Chris Pine then comes in. But he's not Chris Pine. What they've done... So let's just presume she's wished him to come back to life or whatever, right? Fine.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he just exist? Like, as a person, why is he inhabiting... Why does he have to... Is it his soul? So, like, his body's dead? But it's like, does it matter? Because it's a wish. You can do anything.
Exactly. It's so strange. And like I say, if you haven't seen the film, I was just... I was just so baffled. I was like, this man's turned up. And I didn't realise that she'd wished him into being. So she's just at this party, some guy comes up, and then suddenly in the mirror, you see this sort of like troll-faced man.
Troll-faced? Slightly,
he's got
Do you mean Chris Pine? You mean
he's got kind of like squidged troll face.
Oh, it's horrible. His whole face, he's had like work done and shit. He just looks like he looks like a weird Ken doll. He looks like a plastic man that's just been given life. He always has done. I've never found the attraction people have with him.
Yeah, and then they're just like, then she's like, right, I'm having a bit of that. And they're just like snogging for ages. That really cheesy shot with like the camera revolving around them. And then everything, basically every interaction they have for the rest of the movie, I was completely perplexed. None more so than when he suddenly, like towards the end, is like, I've got to go now. And like, and she's like, that's do you? And he's like, yeah, we both know I have to go. I'm like, why? Why is he now? Why is he go? And he doesn't go anywhere. She just kisses him and walks away. You don't see him vanish or, all right.
Save that. Save it. Save these beautiful moments. But yes, at this point in time, he's come back. But for some reason, they've brought him back that he's had to possess another man. Where's that man gone? And it's funny you talk about Quantum Leap, because Quantum Leap, if you remember, when Sam jumps into the body of another man, the like lore is that that person is like in the future, just like chilling out or whatever in a room, right? But the soul of this guy, don't know where he's gone or whatever. There was a big article and a bit of a stink because... especially nowadays with the idea of consent, because essentially she rapes him because he's not given consent of his body and she has sex with him, but it's not him, it's someone else.
Yeah.
Who is basically his body has been used to have sex with. And bear in mind, also been put in extremely dangerous situations that are about to come up as well, right?
You're right.
Another thing. Like, if he died, then it's like, imagine that. You're just some fucking guy walking around. And because dickhead has wished someone into being, not only have you gone, then it's like, you're dead.
And you've hijacked his body.
Yeah, literally hijacked his body. So
it's like that episode of, there's a Red Dwarf episode called Body Swap, where dead Arnold Rimmer, who is resurrected as a hologram, has some robots drug Dave Lister and inject his, like, file into his body.
I remember that.
And he literally steals his body.
And he can feel things again and all this stuff.
Yeah. And he does all the worst things. Like, he just eats loads of food, drinks loads, smokes, and he crashes the ship and loses his arm.
I forgot about that bit.
But I think it's a trick. But yeah, that's the same kind of thing, right? They're completely reckless with this guy.
Yeah, absolutely reckless. And also, God, it's just so much here. But it caused a whole stink, right, about it. And Patty Jenkins came back and said, we were trying to, like, do the whole, like, Freaky Friday kind of trope. And which one? It's like...
Why?
That's body swapping, yes.
Yeah.
Who's he swapping with? Like, no one. It's not a body swap, is it?
It's just a cipher.
Yeah, exactly. That's completely indifferent. And then people were saying that, you know, just because they did it in the 80s, it didn't necessarily mean that that means it's okay to do now either, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, so that whole thing was weird. And then that whole sequence where it's like, oh, you know, look at all these different outfits. It's like, yeah, okay, all right, cool, yeah. 80s outfits, yeah, cool.
That was awful.
And it was just like, this is going on way too long. And then if you remember, like, he's walking around and she's showing him, like, the city and how it is in the future and all this stuff. Fine. But instead of it being, like, fun, it's got this, like, really sad music behind it. It's like, ooh, and all, like, reflective. And it's like, why have you gone in this direction? Like, like Run DMC in the background or something, and like get like, you know, cool, it's the 80s, I'm here, like bopping and whatever. Not like, oh, look at, oh, it's so beautiful. And oh, and trying to make jokes. It was just like, ugh, I just hated it. I thought it was so bad.
Terrible.
Awful. But yeah, so getting on to so whilst all that's happening, Kristen Wiig gets with the Pedro Pascal character, who I didn't mind as a character because, for one thing, I like the idea that he's Mr. like, he's basically Donald Trump or whatever. And they're not shying away from that. And he's like, he owes people loads of money. He's all like front and people call him a con man. He's like, I'm not a con man. And he's got like a massive office and there's only like one person working there. So he's got no money, nothing. He's got all these oil things that aren't having. And I thought when he like makes this wish, he's just going to wish for oil, like in his lands, and be like, okay, there you go. And that was part of the reason. So I'm getting ahead of myself. So he knows that this thing has grants wishes or whatever, gets off Kristen Wiig, takes it. And instead of being like, I wish for a million wishes or something or whatever, I don't get it. He just wishes to be the wish thing. And like, why did he make that decision?
Yeah, it was so poorly explained. I mean, maybe later down the line, he could have done that maybe after, like, he's already wished for all these material possessions or something. But they just go straight to it.
Yeah.
And it's not really properly fully explained, like, the concept. So then, like, him... So that now that he is it, you know, obviously along the line, we kind of realise that, you know, he touches people and they can make their wishes and everything. But it's... doesn't quite carry water. It's quite wishy-washy as a concept, isn't it?
Well, I'm like, so does he only get one wish? So by doing this, his one wish is to be all the wishes, which would make sense. But then that's not really clarified either. Because the whole time I was just thinking, but why would you do it that you have to let the other wishes of other people come true to get a wish for yourself?
Yeah, he has to make people wish on his behalf, doesn't he?
That's very specific. Because then he like, and this is what I didn't get until like the end of the movie, basically, because once you wish for something, he will take something from you. So he wants you to wish and then he'll be like, I'll have your security or whatever at one point. And I don't know, whatever the fuck he said. And I was like, that's not clear. Like, why not just wish for, have it in your hand and wish for good health and wish for this stuff? Like, why is it that you have to do it indirectly? Well, and then I thought, okay, is this a political... Is she trying to do it that basically Trump is trying to make other people's wishes come true that they think they want when he's actually taking something for himself? And I thought, if they're trying to do that and be clever about it, then, you know, good try. But it, as a film, it doesn't work and it doesn't make sense and you're trying too hard.
I think this is where the wheels came off this character. I really liked the character initially. Like you, I thought he's got good promise. Like, I liked him when he first appeared. Mm. And I loved the performance as well. I thought this guy was the best thing about the film.
Pedro Pascal is great in everything, pretty much, that he does, yeah.
So much charisma and energy. And he turns up and he's so slimy when he's trying to, like, get this artifact off of the Kristen Wiig character. Yeah. He's like, so, but he's so, you can see what he's doing. And you think, oh, this guy's really horrible. But at the same time, he's so bloody charming. Mm. You're like, I actually just want to like him.
Mm.
And then they do, what's really good was, you know, like they showed him actually, you know, let's look behind the curtain. He's actually very unsuccessful.
Yeah.
And you see this like relationship with his son, and he just wants to like be successful in his eyes.
Which was the whole film for me. I enjoyed the whole son stuff. I was like, that's the emotional heartstring, like the fact of he wants to, he's doing this to appear like a success in front of his kid. It's kind of what it feels like, but he gets a bit too obsessed with looking successful. He goes too far in that direction, hence why he starts pushing his kid away and shouting at him. But has to get reminded that, you know, he's doing this for his kid or something, when it's like...
Well, that's all the shit that comes later. At this point, I thought it felt quite genuine.
Yeah, it did.
And I thought, this is interesting. We've got a little bit more of a multi-dimensional baddie here that you actually feel some sympathy for, and you can see his motivation. But when he made that wish, and you kind of like start questioning, hang on, what's he doing? Doesn't make sense. And then all these like, I'm going to take that and this and that, and it's really like all over the place.
Yeah,
it's because they lose track of the character, I think. They've just gone, no, let's just make him a stock, megalomaniacal, insane, power lust kind of character.
Mm.
I don't think there's anything more to it than that. I don't see I don't think it's like a parable on modern America or Donald Trump or anything.
I don't know.
I think they just
I reckon they're trying to do that. I reckon that's
Well, they effed that right up. But which doesn't surprise me, because like the writing is just so weak and piss poor throughout. Like, I kept thinking, maybe this film, would this be an acceptable script if it was maybe written by like, I can imagine like some amateur dramatic group of maybe... Well, honestly, it doesn't... Not only does it not feel like the work of a professional, it doesn't even feel like the work of an amateur.
Yes.
It feels like someone who really struggles to understand people.
Writing a film.
Humans and their motivations. Anything to do, with characters, plots. Awful. Anything about to do with like coherence, anything to do with like maintaining the interest of an audience. Mm. It's just such a mess.
Well, they've tried to like shoehorn a lot of Wonder Woman style stuff in, which we'll kind of come to. But just with this guy in particular. Yeah, I think you're right. It was great to see him with his son, and it started off very well. Then it went downhill. But the thing with the wishes is that, okay, so for instance, he goes to see that one guy who he just saw, and he's like, and then I'm going to do you for fraud or whatever it was. And then people turn up and go into the building to arrest him or whatever. But the thing is, I was thinking, so when like the wishes are preempted, if that makes sense, like one guy turns up, he's like, I'm here for a job interview. So I'm like, so how does that work? So these people haven't just like come into existence with this wish. They have already seen something, they've already walked that way, they've already applied before the wish has already been made. So I know I shouldn't think about it too, like it's like, oh, it's a film, like whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if it started from that point, if it was like, oh, and a magic advert appeared in the papers and like someone's like, right. So for instance, he makes that wish of like, he wants those people to work there. It cuts away someone going through like, or online going through some job things, a job ad just suddenly like, appears or whatever, or appears in the paper, whatever the fuck, I don't know. And it's like, oh, okay, cool, up. Hey, is there a job going in thingy or whatever? I don't know, like something like that. Rather than it's like, oh, I've just turned up. What's going on? Hey, you're hired. And all this stuff. I was just like, but then it means that the wish for this to take effect, the wish would have already had to have been started before the point he's made the wish. So that was kind of throwing me a little bit, even though like, I don't want to pay too much attention to it, but
but it's indicative of the lack of attention to detail and some of these like plot holes that these start to contribute to just like a kind of confusion throughout the whole film.
You're right. It's a little,
and it just makes it hard for you to then kind of like really get into it and get excited, and you can't follow things.
You're completely right. And so I guess like story-wise, when they're looking for the rock. I'm not really sure why they're looking for the rock. She just knows it's like bad juju or something. And then he goes over to get more oil, and let's get into this bit. So she follows him. For one thing, they steal a fighter jet to fly.
Why?
To fly from, I don't know, Washington, I guess. I don't know where the fuck it's set. To
Cairo.
Cairo, yeah, right. On a fighter jet, it's like, which is made for like small distances at high speed. It's not a fucking Boeing 747.
That's stupid.
It's like, oh, let's get onto this. It's like, well, it's only going to fuel. That's why there are huge fuck-off ships in the middle of oceans for these planes to like land and take off from. It's because they can't get fucking far. Idiots. So anyway, it's like, okay, well, but then I don't know, maybe they can. I don't know, whatever. But the reason why they have to do that is because they're like, she says something like, oh, you know, we can't get you a passport, so whatever. It's like, why? What do you mean? Like,
we can't get your passport, so, but we can get access to this plane.
It's like, why can't you get a passport? Like, also, they still had on the day stuff that you could still do that now. Today, I don't know about COVID. You could go into a passport office and queue up and wait and get a passport. Also, that guy.
Yeah, how do they know he hasn't got a passport?
Exactly. It's like they don't know. How do they not know he's got a passport for one thing? Okay, all right. They don't want to wait. But two, it's like, well, he's still that guy. Like, he still looks like that guy. It's not like, well, you look like Steve, so you'll never get through. It's like, I don't really understand. Like, the way she worded it, I can't remember. I was just like, what is she talking about? So they get a fighter jet. They just go onto some fucking military base and get a fighter jet. And then this is where, because if you remember, Wonder Woman can make her plane invisible. So then they just so the idea is she's just like, oh, I made a teacup disappear once because my dad made a whole island disappear. I've tried it out. Let's try it now. Oh, I've done it. Cool. We're invisible now. Let's fly through some fireworks, which make zero noise in our, like, everything's like lovely and beautiful and quiet. It's like you are in a fighter jet. People have earmuffs. It's like,
that's
whatever, like, and stuff like that. It's not like they're just having casual conversations next to each other or whatever. It's just like, why is it not making like a shit ton of noise? It's like a fighter jet.
That's really like, again, this film, it just was like things happen one after the other. With no build-up or consequences or tension.
Yeah.
So like you say, she just goes, they're like, oh, we need the plane to be invisible. Oh, well, I can make it invisible. Done.
Yeah.
Okay, on to the next thing. So what?
Yeah, that's it.
Nothing has any meaning in this film.
Zero meaning. Absolutely zero. So what I love as well is that they fucking touch down wherever they get there, however they are, I don't know. And then how they find Pedro Pascal is they happen to try to find him on the road. Oh, that's it. That's how they do it. It's not like there's a bit of investigation or anything. It's just like, who's that? Oh, it's him. Let's go for it.
That's like, well, it's only Egypt, isn't it? It's not a big country.
Sadly, yeah. It's only tiny. Cairo as well. There's only like one road in and out, so you're not going to miss them. Fucking hell. And then what I love about that whole sequence is that, which is like the first big proper like action sequence, apart from maybe the shopping mall, whatever, is that the cars, you can see the cars moving like super slow in the background for a start. So it doesn't feel like fast paced, but hats off, they've tried to do it for realsies. Fine. She's starting to lose her powers, right? And there's that great bit at the end where she grabs the kids. She grabs the kids and then she like whatever, loses her strength or whatever it was. I can't remember. Drops her lasso of truth or whatever. And then she rolls over with the kids like that. And I'm just like, she's fucking killed them.
Yeah.
They come out and they're like, not even a scratch. And like, she literally rolled across a road at like a million miles per hour on top of these two very small children. And I just remember watching it going like, holy fuck, she's fucking killed them. She killed these two kids. I was like, that's really dark. Oh no, they're fine. Great. It's so stupid, that whole sequence. It's just fucking ridiculous.
The whole sequence was so boring.
Did she catch a bullet during that bit as well?
I can't remember. Maybe, I don't know. It was so boring because it was like, again, they haven't done the groundwork for this to be exciting or mean anything. Because I'm still in the dark as to what Pascal is doing.
Yeah. Well, I thought he wanted to get oil. He was just going to wish for oil. But now it's like, oh, okay, he's got what he needs, but he's still like, what's the end game? I don't really understand what he's trying to. Yeah, what
that's it. At this point, I'm just thinking he's a businessman who is going to trick some people out of a lot of oil and a lot of money. Why is she getting involved?
Yeah, why does she?
Why is she trying to like? Why have they gone all the way to Egypt to try and like beat him up? or whatever they're trying to do. This is they never say like what they're trying to do to him.
No,
they're
going to
try
like,
and like what catch him or stone, tell him off.
Exactly, it's like we just got to get the stone back because it's kind of evil and it's to do with that bad god or whatever that created it or some fucking shit. I don't know, but it's still like
they do a bit more exposition around it a little bit later.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but we haven't had that at this point. No. It's just a general sense. And again, like, this is just how the bad writing is like. There's kind of a general sense that he's a bit bad and this is bad. And because she's Wonder Woman, they should get involved. And now we need a big action sequence.
Yeah. Well, it's like we're like an hour and 10 minutes in. We need to have a bit of action. Here you go. It's like 5 minutes worth.
And finally see her in her outfit.
Yeah, exactly. And
does he recognize her at this point as well? Because he's already met her at the Smithsonian.
That's true. Yeah, it doesn't get
so now he's thinking, why is that woman from the Smithsonian come here in a red outfit?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I don't think he recognises her. It's a Superman thing, I suppose, where they, even though they look exactly, like, I would recognise her. I'd recognise her anyway. The fact that she's, like, wearing some Wonder Woman outfit, it's like, and as well, like, in the world that it's in at the moment in 1984, like, and she's supposed to be, like, not famous or whatever, but you'd be like, what the hell is going on? Like, why are you wearing that? What is happening?
So that was kind of in the back of my mind. It's like, does he know who she is? And I can't be bothered to think about it at this point.
Didn't think about it too much. And also, like, we should say, like, in running parallel to this, Kristen Wiig, who is completely doesn't even need to be in this movie, really, is kind of getting more popular. She's getting a bit more like shitty.
I loved her leotard.
Yeah, she's looking
in
hot.
The gym.
Yeah, exactly. She's like lifting big weights, and we're like, okay, she's getting stronger, and she's becoming more like Wonder Woman. Cool. And there's the bit where like some bloke tries to like assault her, basically.
Oh.
And then I thought, oh, she's gonna kill him. This is where like she's evil. Like she's gone too far. Like she's killed someone because instead she just beats the shit out of him, and because she's just beating the shit out of him, you're just like, well, yeah, you deserve that, like.
Yeah, she didn't go far enough. I loved her.
This is where she's going to become evil. She's going to kill him. But no, so it's like, okay. Yeah, she's just like, she's still like the good guy. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Not setting her up to be much of an enemy.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That guy, he was so disgusting, so slimy. And he'd already tried to pull that on earlier in the film.
Same guy.
Diana had saved her.
Exactly.
So this was great. You were like, great, she's going to get a bit of measure of revenge. And she does, and it's really satisfying. And you're like, yeah, go for it.
Mm.
Now I want you to take out the next piece of trash.
Yeah.
She really gives him a good kicking as well.
Yeah, she does, but I thought it should have been more. I don't know.
Yeah, if you want to make her a villain, at this point I'm like, she's not a villain. She's just, this is great.
This is great.
Yeah. Make her a villain by, like, I don't know, like, do a Mortal Kombat-esque fatality on him, like, rip out his spine.
Well, that's what I was kind of waiting for, but it doesn't really happen. But then, so, I don't know, where do we get to? It goes to, like, he comes back, I guess, and is like, okay, yeah, I need more wishes. I want to become the president. Right, I'm the president. Okay, I need to get, like, on TV and make all these people make wishes so I can have all the wishes. And that's becoming like the big end game stuff. They find out more about The Rock, whatever, it's a bit boring. And they basically are like, oh, you have to like renounce your wish. And Kristen Wiig's like, I'm not renouncing it. Like, this is great. And Diana's like, well, I don't really want to renounce it either because my boyfriend's here. But that was also something people had a problem with, is that it's the fact that Wonder Woman, independent woman, and it's like, oh, but without her man, she's been lonely for 40 years because of one man. And she's not enjoying life because she hasn't got man in her life. And it's like, well, it's not really Miss Independent, is it? Like, she's just pining after the pine, Chris Pine.
Yeah, well, it's not very fashionable to do in 2020, but, you know, I think it's... It's a cogent message that's throughout most art, film, and literature of the last few hundred years. People do get lonely on their own.
Yeah, but that's of course,
because she's lonely because then she's slightly dependent on a man. That's not very cool.
Well, exactly. It's like she's had 40... Right, whatever. I'm not going to get into that side of it. It's just ridiculous. But so, yeah, they find out about the rock and whatever, and then they come back, and then you've got that bit in the White House, I guess. And then...
Well, where they have a fight.
They have a fight, and then I'm calling her Cheetah, even I can't remember her name. Kristen Wiig is Cheetah now. She's a bit more Cheetah-ish.
She's not Cheetah.
She's not a Cheetah yet.
At this point, I'm just like, she's got strong.
She's a strong woman. And they have a bit of a fight, but Diana is like losing her powers a little bit, but it seems to be like 0.1% of her power, because pretty much 99% of the time she's absolutely fine and still like really.
Why is she losing her power?
Because that's what's being taken away from her as part of the wish. I don't know. Like, I guess that's her biggest strength or whatever, is her literal strength.
Gold.
And so, yeah. And then basically the world. This is where we're getting to like the end game now. So, we should say that Chris Pine is like, what's that suit over there? She's like, oh, it's a suit of this like really powerful heroine that's in our culture. And yeah, it's like pure gold. And she like staved off like thousands of men or something in this one piece of armor. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. And then it's like, right, well, I guess we're seeing that later then. And then this is it. So then the world starts going to shit, right? Mm. And then we've got
this doesn't make sense either. It's like they've gone, right, we want people to realise that, like, oh, there's like chaos and things are falling apart. But none of it makes any sense. It's like, I can't remember, he like goes in and speaks to the president, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, people are looting, like rioting and looting on the street. Like, why is that a consequence of him like, having one meeting? It's just crazy. And then like, oh my God, all these nukes are coming online.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's because things are getting, because people, he's used more and more wishes and things are just getting worse because everything's getting worse for the people that made the wishes, I guess. But yeah, it's kind of not, you're kind of just a bit like, okay, like it's all gone like a bit post-apocalyptic or something for no actual reason.
That's it. They're like, we want it to look like that's, but we don't want to put in the groundwork together.
Mm.
So there you go. Chaos, apocalypse reigns.
Yeah.
And he's going to use this like space satellite system.
Mm. Which just happened to be, it was the perfect thing that just happened to be what they were discussing when he walked in.
Yeah. They're doing a presentation on it. And he explains that like the tracheons or whatever, I don't know what the fuck the physics are, that's almost like making a physical connection. I can do my wishes through that by like appearing on a TV and that's physically reaching, touching people so they can have their wishes granted.
Mm.
So again, it's like a really stupid concept that is so central to you buying into the end of the film.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And then she goes, so this is when she says goodbye to Steve, right? And it's done, I think it's at this point. And then, but it's kind of like they just have a little moment by this like post. And he's like, you just have to renounce your wish or whatever. And I don't think she ever says, she does, doesn't she? She's walking off. She's like, I renounce my wish. But it's just so funny. She's like, bye. And then she's just walking off all like, and then you just hear him go, I'll always love you. From like nowhere. And it's like, did they just like run out of time with Chris Pine? We're just like, oh, fuck. It's like, this is the last shot of the day and we've got to wrap this up soon. Just get anything. I was so fucking awful.
I was so confused.
And then there's supposed to be this like big, like beautiful, dramatic moment as she's riding the lightning she rides a plane. So however long her fucking lasso, I can't remember how you say it. And this is her like flying. So she just seems to learn how to fly. She just flies now.
She flies a plane?
No, she grabs onto a plane taking off or something. And then all of a sudden she remembers what Chris Pine said. Where he's like, it's like being one with the breeze or whatever. And she's now, flying. And so it's like, right, okay, so they brought in the invisible jet. They brought in the fact that she flies now. So, okay, great.
So this is when she's going to like find him he's gone.
Yeah.
Can I ask you at this point?
Yeah.
So the Kristen Wiig character, she really likes this guy.
Yeah.
Pascal's character, Mr. Lord.
Well, she did to begin with. I don't think she's that bothered anymore. I can't really remember why she's...
No, she still likes him because then they're in the plane together. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And he's got this like horrible red eye.
Yeah.
And she's still, she can see, she likes him. He's a powerful, confident man. That's what she likes. And she can see he's got all more and more power.
Mm.
And at this point, she says, I wish that I was like more of an alpha.
Yeah, alpha predator, whatever.
Predator. Mm. And at this point, and then the next time you see her, she's been turned into this like cheetah character.
Yeah, why would she want that?
Well, why did she get two wishes?
Yeah.
Because she's already done the wish to be more like Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Well, I have
and now she gets another wish to be the cheetah.
I have a theory on that one, in that she made the wish to begin with, but Pedro Pascal could have took a wish and used someone else's wish to do his kind of...
So he made someone else wish that she was a cheetah.
Maybe, or maybe like they wished something else and he was like, I don't know, and was like, okay, cool, and I'm going to make her a cheetah. And used it for something else. But you're right, there's no like, you're like, no logic, oh, she gets two wishes, because that's exactly what I was thinking as well. It's like, right, and I was like, why would she want to wish for that? Like, she wants to become an actual animal. Like, where does this come from? All because she saw she saw Wonder Woman in some like some leopard print high heels at the beginning of the film. And now she wants to be a leopard or whatever. It's like, what the fuck is happening? I mean, that whole thing was so stupid. It's just literally the only reason she was there is they just needed a battle to end the film. So she's got to fight someone.
And then it's so anticlimactic because...
Well, she turns up, like, Wonder Woman turns up in that suit. And it's like, I don't really understand why she's wearing that suit.
No.
Because that suit was supposed to be, like, taking on all these, like, this army of men. It's like, well, she's already got her power. And the fucking suit's wings like crumple after like this woman's able to like cheetah, whatever. Keep calling cheetahs in like Thundercats, but like keeps pulling Chitara. Keeps pulling off the wings. And it's like, wait, wasn't that strong then, was it? And then she just takes them off and she's like, fuck it, I'll just fight you normal. So like, well, why are you in that? Apart from it's just to give you like a different look at the end.
Well,
and
you hit the nail on the head.
The whole thing's like, she's wearing this bright gold suit. Thing, right, and all the fucking artwork for this film is like these metallic neon colors that she's wearing this bright gold suit in front of it. Like, okay, cool. And then the whole thing's like in night and basically black and white.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? And it's just such a pointless fight because, as well, once it's over and whatever, and you presume, well, I don't know if she renounces her wish or not. I presume she does, whatever, because I think she goes back to normal. I can't remember. But, you never see her again. So literally, like, there's no even resolution to Kristen Wiig's character. It's just like she had a fight with Wonder Woman and that was it, done.
That character just existed to, you know, I realise now looking back, just to become that cheetah character.
Yeah, it was literally like...
Which was then almost immediately discarded.
Yeah.
And everything that's been established, Wonder Woman's weaker and this cheetah character's, like, got really strong and is now an alpha character. Just like you say... The wings fall off the suit. Still beats her anyway.
Yeah.
Bish bash done.
Oh my God. Just hated it. Hated it so much. So, I mean, and then, okay, well then let's get to it with it. When she turns up with Pedro Pascal, I don't really know what's going on. Like, people all around the world are wishing for things and he's picking, he can see them in his mind, I guess. And he's like, I'll take your health or whatever. And it's all getting like really high drama, like really dramatic. And he stands...
But what is he gaining?
I don't know. And he stands in the middle of this thing, like this bright light. And I'm like, what is that? Like, where is he? He's not even on TV anymore. And then she's like, oh, she has this like mega long speech where she's like, everybody needs to renounce their wishes. And I'm like, well, can they see her? Because isn't she supposed to be this big fucking secret? And now she's just, is she on TV or not? Because I don't know.
No, she's not on TV.
But then who's like this?
Exactly.
The people around the world are probably thinking, what the fuck? Who is this woman talking? And then does it mean that everyone around the world has to come together in this optimistic thing to like renounce their wishes for it to be okay? And what about the people that died? Like the woman who was in the cafe in fucking Brixton or whatever,
She and she's like, came back to life.
Yeah, exactly. And all this stuff. It's like, well,
I've got here, Sam, my notes.
Oh, God.
But everyone, in capitals, everyone in the entire world renounces their wishes.
Bullshit. Not to be a cynic.
People are good at heart, Sam. People are good. They just need a little taste.
They're not.
They need a little taster of misery to see how stupid their ideas are. But then they are good of heart. There's so many things that are confusing about this. When he's granting all those wishes,
yeah.
His son stands in front of a television and says, "I wish you came back here, Daddy."
Yeah.
He doesn't get his wish.
Yes, true, yeah. That got me a little bit, like, especially when, like, basically any kind of child endangerment these days, having kids, like, is like the most horrifying thing to me to ever see. So when it's like he was just out running around and there's like shit being on fire or whatever, not realizing that he was basically right next to the White House, apparently, because Pedro Pascal takes about a 30 second jog. And all the nukes go up and it's like, oh, we haven't got long left. Well, it's fucking shit. He meets his kid. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, I just want to be a father to you, whatever. I was like, okay, that's kind of fine. I don't mind that. But I feel like
that
should have been, I don't know, like, why is he being left on his own and all this stuff? But I think that was kind of like the one thing that maybe brought it back. It was a little bit like, I didn't bring it back, but as in, to
but it felt tacked on.
Yeah, it was tacked on. But it was like the fact that he's like, I'm a father, my son, or whatever, and him stopping it, or whatever, because of that. I was like, okay, well, that's a nice way for it to stop.
But it's so trite.
It is really trite.
It's so trite and cliche.
But I'm fine with it. I don't mind that. Because that I agree with that more than the fact that everyone has to renounce their wish for this to work, which is just bullshit. It's just stupid. At least that.
But even all this stuff with his son didn't make sense as well. Because like the son has done a wish to say come back, which doesn't work, despite the fact that we've established he's granting everyone's wishes.
Yeah.
But then when he's wandering around out in the streets, suddenly he is able to communicate with him. So now it's like, oh, he's suddenly developed the ability to communicate telepathically, just conveniently.
Yeah.
And like you say, and Wonder Woman also seems to be talking to every single person in the world simultaneously. And he's now...
Who all speak English, by the way. Must have
he's in this, like,
English.
Weird tower of... Yeah, all speak... he's in some, like, tower of power.
Yeah.
I don't know, some, like, orange beam. It was just like, oh, my God, these are all, like, the worst, like... tropes all coming together. Oh. It's like they just let a designer take over who'd seen a handful of films.
It's just like, oh, it'd be cool if he was in like Pool of Light.
Yeah. And they're gone, just do whatever you want.
What is this Pool of Light? I don't know.
We won't make it make sense. Doesn't matter. Just whatever looks good.
It's not even on camera anymore.
Yeah.
It's not on the podium. Oh, God, it was just so fucking terrible. And that's basically
pathetic.
It. I don't even remember how the whole film ended. I don't remember what happened apart from it. It's just like, oh. That's the end.
Then it was like, oh, it's all nice. And then we get this really such a cloying scene at the end where Wonder Woman's, it's like Christmas and she's watching like children and people. People are just happy now and they don't realise maybe, or they've forgotten how close they were to the brink of destruction. Mm. But she remembers. So she's watching them. It's very poignant. Mm. And we see a balloon released and just float up into the sky. Mm. And then she sees this poor sod.
Yeah, who she's fucked just a couple of weeks ago.
He doesn't even know. They strike up some small talk. He's like, oh, nice coat or something. I know. She's like, oh, nice coat. He's like, oh, everyone says it's shit.
Is that exactly what he says?
So it's my friends say it looks stupid, but I think it's kind of cool.
Right.
And I think it would have made more sense if it was like a really like 80s kind of like outlandish cut.
Mm.
But it just looks like a normal coat, right? Mm.
Yeah, it's just a long coat.
Yeah, and then she's just like giving him some glances and looks and things.
Well, I thought they were going to get together. I was like, oh,
I thought so as well. But there is that kind of vibe of like she's looking at him a bit like, yeah, I know what's in those pants.
Yeah, exactly. I've had that. Weirdly.
And then it just ends with that like balloon going up in the air.
That's awful. Well, there isn't a scene at the end, Dan. Did you know this?
Oh, I did watch this, yeah.
With Linda Carter, is that her name?
Yeah.
comes back, who is supposed to be the that woman in the gold suit originally. And I was like, oh, it's the original Wonder Woman in the end. So, okay.
She does a really overwrought wink to the camera.
Yeah. It's me. And that's it. Dan, do you want to have a guess at how much this film cost to make? Budget-wise. Just roundabout guess.
I mean, I don't really know how much things cost, but I think probably like $100 million.
Double it.
Wow.
And currently it's at 150 mil at the box office. So it hasn't... Oh,
was it released cinematically?
No. Well, no, basically. We might have got a limited release in some theatres worldwide, but... the idea is that it got released on HBO Max. So I guess that's part of it, is that...
Okay.
I don't really know how it was released in America. Over here, you had to just buy it on whatever.
I mean, presumably it would have had a proper full release, but it got...
It kept getting pushed back.
Got 2020.
COVID, exactly, yeah. And, well, I guess that's it, really, Dan. I mean, I haven't really written a final review, but I would say that this was probably... one of the worst superhero movies that I've seen. And it's what makes it more annoying is that I had not exactly high expectations, but I was like, cool, it's in the 80s. They've jumped 2 feet into the 80s. They're going to do something fun and interesting. And even if I don't really like Wonder Woman or I think it's a bit shit, at least there'll be 80s stuff that I can just be like, that's cool and enjoy that. Wasn't even that. So it was huge disappointment all round and a story that didn't make sense. And Kristen Wiig, who I actually quite like and who I thought they could have done something with, was wasted. Pedro Pascal, they could have done something with, was wasted. Wonder Woman is just like a fucking blank piece of paper. Shouldn't have bothered with Steve. Shouldn't have bothered with that first scene at all with her running around. Or the shopping mall scene. I didn't care for any of it. It's just so boring and it's just so ridiculous and over the top. And I just hated it. Yeah. I absolutely hated it. But I just thought it was a laugh because it was just so stupidly shit. Dan, what did you think?
Just responding to that, they just tried to put too much stuff in and it really exposed how weak they are as scriptwriters. Mm. It's just such an incoherent mess.
Awful.
I actually wrote a review. I gave this, on IMDb, you're forced to give a star score out of 10.
Gunpoint.
If you write a review, yeah, you have to.
Yep.
So, well, guess what do you think I gave this out of 10?
2.
You are bang on the money, my friend.
I know you too well.
I found it to be an incoherent, brash, overly long, boring mess. A lot of stuff happened in this film, but it never felt like it mattered towards anything because character motivations weren't satisfactorily explained, nor were the ramifications of people's actions. The chief issue is in the writing, a messy, unfocused plot, poorly defined characters, cliched characters, bland dialogue. I now see there was a previous film which perhaps would have helped make this film make more sense. That said, with its 2.5 hour running time, the writers could have done a far better job of re-establishing its main character, her goals, the parameters of her powers, etc., so this movie could better stand alone. One character had promised the main villain, who starts off in compelling fashion. We see the man behind the mask, his humble aspirations, which grow out of control, and a tender relationship with his son. However, this all gets steamrolled once the plot gets going, and he becomes the twisted, cliched megalomaniac, simply out for more power because reasons. The dramatic culmination of the film is a complete mess of inconsistencies. It's established that Mr. Lord can grant wishes to anyone in the world watching a TV via a satellite system, and we see this being done. However, his son's wishes are not fulfilled because that would have been inconvenient for the writers. However, they both seem to develop an innate ability to communicate telepathically, and lo and behold, he realises the error of his ways, not before every other human being on the planet has already also revoked their wishes, thanks to good old Wonder Woman, explaining that we can't cut corners to get what we want in life, or something like that. Obviously, there's an intended message in all of this, but it's so garbled. The movie ends with a scene so mawkish, you'd swear you were watching the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
The 1984 angle didn't come into play much beyond some good old-fashioned war games like Cold War nuclear missile shenanigans shoehorned in there. Didn't evoke the 80s, despite some costuming attempts. It all looked too glossy and really could have been set at any point over the last 40 years. The only redeeming thing about the film was some of the cast seemed to be having fun and put in good comic book performances. If only they'd done more with Pedro Pascal and Kristen Wiig's characters. Mm. Overall, very poor. Perhaps if you already love these characters, you might get a kick out of this. But everyone else, please avoid.
Yeah, do avoid. I mean, Gal Gadot, I just don't think, whatever you say, I just don't think is that great anyway, to be honest. But
what else has she been in?
Oh, I don't know. I only know her from Wonder Woman. I mean, I know that she has been in a few stuff. The thing is, right, I always think that films, when people get pissed off, it's like, we wanted to make the film we want to make and all this stuff. I always think, thing is, I've sat down and I'm like investing 2.5 hours of my life to this. And I have gone in, the fact that I'm sitting down and watching it means I'm invested and I want this to like be okay. And I want to have fun with it. And I just think sometimes when it's just like, it just feels like someone just stroking their own ego or just like, I want to write it. I can write it. I'll write it. I want to make the film I want to make. And it's like, yeah, you know, maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like it's just so it's just really disrespectful to the audience. By doing stuff like that, by thinking that, you know, you don't need a professional writer, you can do it and that you're better at it. Or whatever. It's just fucking...
And fell flat on their faces.
Yeah, exactly.
They've really shown themselves. I feel bad for that cast, actually, really. Because, everything stems to the script.
Mm.
And there's absolutely nothing that anyone else involved in that film could have done to salvage this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I just realised that the only thing I remember from that she's been in before is the Fast and Furious series.
Okay, I haven't seen any of those.
No.
I mean, she looked nice.
Yeah, but I don't think she's like... She looks so plain to me. Like, I know everyone thinks she's amazing. I'm just like... She looks like, I don't know, like, just looks like, if someone said draw a woman, it'd be like, well, look like Gal Gadot. Do you know what I mean? It's like, she's just like, there's nothing to her. It feels like, someone's like, oh, she's so beautiful. Just like, she
that's
just,
great.
Like, literally, she's like, it's like she has just zero individuality.
That's great.
Or, well, I'm not expecting her to like shave her head or something, but still.
Should we see what other people said about this film?
Let's have a look at some reviews. Let's do it.
I hate it.
Okay, so we're going to go into some reviews. I'll read out one, Dan, and you read one. Okay. You read one back to me.
Good.
I'll go into this one. 1 out of 10 from Jotham Millie issue. Oh, when will this end? First 15 minutes was the best and literally did not contribute to the story, not one bit. Sounds like something you said. Okay, where to begin? Lasso, is it Lasso or Lasso? I can't remember.
Lasso.
Lasso of truth. More like infinity flying power, bulletproof magic lasso. Main villain is a genie in a rock. Storyline is people wishing from said genie. Most climactic fight is in the trailer. Seriously, it's Wonder Woman fighting a leopard tiger thingy. Main villain is defeated by saying 4 words. No emotional connection to characters, shallow and uninspiring. Literally, if anyone died, you just wouldn't care. No consequence after saying those 4 words. Things magically become normal. I don't get how this is even rated past a 5. Critics rating 9, really suspicious. Must be some market manipulation. I literally created an account just to write this. Don't watch this, please. I wasted my time and money. Hope you don't make the same mistake. 1 out of 10.
What a hero.
He loved it.
10 out of 10.
Ooh.
The world doesn't deserve you, Diana.
I got this one. God, I need it.
A spectacular film. Unfortunately, not all are pleased, as they are used to generic superhero films, where action takes most of the time. Wonder Woman 84 shows the development that the protagonist needed after the first film. No, it didn't! That's the whole point of my irascible attitude towards it. Many do not understand, but this film showed well the comic book Wonder Woman. A heroine who loves humanity despite all the ugliness. And Gal Gadot knew how to represent that very well. It is a film for those who know how to interpret a good film well. Do not expect beatings all the time. The world does not deserve Diana because the world deserves a generic and superficial character, which is not the case with Wonder Woman, by the way.
All true. Poor old Diana. He's talking about Princess Diana, which is what's really weird. And this is 1 out of 10 from DS 1973-28. All the critics are political liars. The movie was disappointing enough, but the only reason I came here to make a review is to comment on the BS propaganda that the critics are making. Variety says the movie is out of control, depicting the enormous talent of Jenkins, talent to destroy a film. I think somewhere in Rotten Tomatoes, someone said this was one of the best superheroes movies ever. Can anyone actually reasonably make a justifiable argument out of that? BBC said this was one of the most enjoyable blockbuster films since 1984. That could only be true if you've never seen a single other superhero movie. And many more critics posing as the voice of the people trying so obviously dictate to us this should be, it should indeed be considered a magnificent movie. What mindless sheep that follow the screaming anger of trying to force the public to believe in something that isn't actually true. I suppose it's because Jenkins is a female. Wow, let's bow down to such greatness. Oh, here we go. It's so disappointing that BS politics is all that matters for movie critics. It's obvious and apparent of the simple fact that being a female director is all you need to get great reviews. These people or organisations, whatever, that claim themselves to be critics are simply trying to push the agenda that we, the people, should celebrate this movie to be a grand masterpiece, simply for the fact that it was directed by a woman, regardless of the reality that this was really a movie for little kids. Anyone older will not actually be impressed by it, as the true reviews of people indicate to us. Shall we take a moment to regard an actress who quit the Marvel movies because they didn't want to stay on board a sinking ship? Go ahead, Portman. Go somewhere else to defend that lust of talent in directing movies. What a hero. No offence whatsoever is meant to the actors, nor Jenkins herself. It's the critics that claim this to be such a masterpiece, but in fact it's a very poor excuse for good filmmaking. I don't think he likes women.
Wow.
No offence.
He needs to read this review.
Go on.
10 out of 10. Haters, renounce your world citizenship. Anyone who can't enjoy this film needs to deeply look into the mirror to discover their own shortcomings and why they hate both themselves and everyone who's ever lived for it. This movie has a great message, story, and is very entertaining. If you're not a fan, perhaps go for your destined second helping of toxic culture elsewhere, since you're part of the problem, not the solution. Hashtag feminism.
Hashtag feminism. Oh, brilliant.
Wow.
Well, that's it. I haven't got any more, really.
They keep coming here.
That's enough. You got some more?
I've got some great ones here.
Go on, then.
10 out of 10. What we need now.
God.
This movie is the perfect way to end the crap fest that was 2020. What? A toilet roll? Is it, what are you, you're creating the film to? Or just like a commode? another one here, 10 out of 10. Another one, the movie we need right now.
Why is it? Why is it people? Why is it the movie
people seem to?
Now? What are people? What?
I know.
We need shit.
Everything's bound up in like 2020 has been difficult, so we need like life affirming movies. So this one, 10 out of 10. This movie is so beautiful and heartwarming.
Oh my God.
I cried several times throughout the film.
Wishing it was over.
Can you imagine? I cried several times.
What a time.
Throughout the film.
Like if they said the bit where she's like flying, it'd be like, oh my God, right. But several times.
It's pure Wonder Woman in every way possible.
Oh, pure Wonder Woman, whatever that is. It's pure.
Maxwell Lord has an amazing arc. Kristen's cheetah is also amazing.
Right, okay.
And her story is very tragic and moving. This movie is more sophisticated.
Sorry,
yeah. This movie is more sophisticated than the first, but still very enjoyable. Overall, the movie is fun, emotional, heartwarming, action-packed, and just the movie we all need right now.
God. I want to see a good movie. That's what I need. It's a good movie.
You don't know what a good movie is, Sam. You're part of the problem.
Exactly. Hashtag feminism.
Hashtag feminism. Can we end on a bad one? Because I feel like this needs to end on a bad
one. Okay.
1 out of 10. Horrendous. First off, I loved the first movie and was looking forward to the sequel. That being said, this was a disappointing, convoluted mess. Mm. It's like a train wreck and a dumpster fire had a baby, then the baby puked, and that puke became this movie.
It's perfect.
He then goes on to say, this movie was so bad that I walked out of my house.
That's great. Imagine. That's really funny. Oh, good one. That's great. Dan, have we got anything for Nerd's Corner today?
Yeah, always.
Always. Let's head out. Let's go there now.
Oh, Hans Zimmer did the soundtrack.
He did, yeah. You're making it sound like you've just found this out.
I did just find this out. I've been rumbled.
Hans Zimmer did do the soundtrack. Love a bit of Hans Zimmer. I think Harry Gregson Williams did the first one. Yeah, is that right? I don't know. Yeah, it's all right. It's not very, I don't know if there's much 80s in it. Is that what we got for Nerd's Corner? Fucking hell.
I mean, it hasn't been pressed on vinyl or anything, so it's not very nerdy.
No. Right, well, I think let's call it a day with Wonder Woman 84. I think we've trounced it enough. We've beaten it up and shat it out and pulled it apart. So thanks, everyone, for listening to that. I hope you enjoyed it more than you enjoyed the movie. So, Dan, I believe next week we're going to do data discs, have a look at the record label data discs. Do you want to kind of fill us in a little bit more about what people can expect?
Yeah, so a relatively young London-based record label that specialises exclusively in releasing old computer game music on vinyl. And I think both Sam and I are going to have a little look at what they've released and maybe each pick a favourite soundtrack to discuss. So, yeah, a little bit of discussion about the label and then a little bit of nostalgia and reminiscence about a couple of our favourite old games from the 90s.
That's it. Cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram @anewwinter, Twitter @anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.